Well, good morning, everybody. This is Thursday, February 13th, 2020. All the kids are having Valentine's Day in schools, since there's no school tomorrow.
Is that why you're wearing your shirt?
It is. Me and my little buddy both wore the same red shirt.
That's nice.
This is the Josephine County Board of Commissioners, and we are having our county administration workshop in the BCC conference room. Item number one is Public Works. Rob Brandis, Contract for Personnel Service of J.W. Hurd Fabrication, LLC, DBA, Southern Oregon Boiler. What can you tell us, sir?
Good morning, Commissioners. This is the project I foreshadowed at my quarterly update. So our two existing chip seal oil boilers date to 99, and two summers ago one of them had a catastrophic failure on the internal plumbing. It's effectively a hot water recirc system that keeps the oil at temp. So the oil mixing with water doesn't keep the oil really useful. So kind of been wrestling with how to repair these, and Dan Mott came up with the concept of let's just cut that thing so far open it's no longer a confined space. So it's going to involve porting both silos. J.B. Hurd will then go in and redo all the plumbing in there and reseal it back. Well, prior to resealing it, they'll also sandblast everything out of there and do an ultrasound test to check the steel there. But it's two plates, so we're convinced it's going to be good for generations.
Are they going to make a hatch that they're not going to weld it all back up? They're going to make a hatch that you can go in and check it in the future?
No, they're going to weld it back. I figure if we get 20 years out of the plumbing again, just the certainty of not having a seal fail, it would be bad there, obviously. So, yep, they would plan on sealing it back up.
And there's oil in it?
There will be a bit of residual, but not much, because it'll pump almost to empty. Our guess is there's probably going to be a yard of material in there possibly. So we'll have to deal with that as hazardous waste, as it were.
You know, when I weld on a gas tank, I want it full, not empty.
Right.
So, you know, because an empty tank.
Fumes and all that. Yep.
Yeah. So are we going to have, we're going to put the canary on our shoulder to go in there first and make sure that isn't going to.
Partly with the seal oil, but you get to, with the getting rid of the confined space, but seal oil flash point is a whole lot higher than gas or diesel. It's going to be tar in the bottom of that effectively. And okay. Once we sandblast it.
Especially in the wintertime if it's colder.
Well, and it's kind of close to the fairground. So could you do it around July 4th so we can all enjoy?
Just fire that whole thing, send it off like a rocket.
Just be careful.
Yeah.
Okay?
Well, we're subbing all this out. So, yes, we will take all the precautions. And, hey, our water's right there as well if it came to it. So the plan would be to do both of these two and have them sealed up and ready to go for chip seal season.
Good. When you said two layers, last time I thought I heard you say 1/5-8 steel.
It's actually two separate plates, 5/8 inch total. What kind of sold us, we went over to Medford and watched their operation. They're repurposing or updating one that's quarter inch only, and it dates to the late 50s, early 60s, and it was still good enough to reuse. So we've got more than double the width and less than half the age.
So it's full of rust. It shouldn't oil. It's full of oil. Yeah. It shouldn't rust.
The ultrasound is probably overkill, but at least to see what's there where it's been sitting on the ground for 20 years. But I will confident it's going to be a good show.
No, that'd give you confidence going forward.
Yep.
All right. Number two is signal maintenance agreement number 3373 with the State of Oregon.
So this is just formally kind of enumerating an existing agreement we already have, or a handshake agreement. We've got the handful of signals that we maintain on Exhibit A there. Most of these have been longstanding, with the exception of the Robertson Bridge Azalea. That's a newer ad. But we just don't have folks in-house that are up to speed on doing this kind of thing. If it's easy, if it's fuses and bulbs, we'll do that in-house. But if something like the signal loop at Azalea failed, we just want a standing agreement with ODOT for them to go out and do work. Historically, I would say we average less than $500 total per year cost on all of these signals. So this is going to be a once every 5 years something fails, and it's going to be $1,200 kind of a deal. But we don't have an electrician on staff.
You can't hire an employee for less than that?
And keep somebody up to snuff on electrical code.
We don't have it, and we should stay away from the signals.
Yep, it's
easy. We shouldn't get in the signal business.
Yeah, good to move that liability.
Yeah. Our responsibility is literally
bolts out. You call someone
if it's beyond a bulb and a fuse. Yep, we're done. We end up calling ODOT or a local electrical contractor. So this just kind of formalizes that agreement.
Any questions on that one?
Nope. Good job.
And there's your answer to the question. Anybody asks how many signals does Josephine County have? It's four.
Just kidding.
Well, then both those can move forward to the weekly business session next week.
Okay.
For a decision.
Sounds good.
Great.
Just that easy.
It's pretty fast.
I average down after the meeting the other day, right?
See, I'm 6 minutes.
See what preparation
you guys moving. Yeah.
Pretty good.
All right. Thank you.
I think if we see you more often, we can stay with a 6 minute meeting.
Come by anytime.
Right. See you all.
Item 1B is juvenile justice, which was going to be Susan Rael, but now looks like we pulled in the director.
Right.
And Jim Goodwin. And this is IGA number 161-4520 between State of Oregon and DHS and OHA and Juvenile Justice, Turning Point Youth Residential Program.
Morning, Commissioners.
Morning.
I plan to beat Rob Brandis's 6 minutes here. This is a super easy one. I talked in our quarterly update about our Turning Point, which is our residential treatment center, is going through the accreditation process so that we can become a QRTP, Qualified Residential Treatment Program, meeting the state's new and more rigorous standards for those programs. When the legislation came through that said you need to do this, the state made available $50,000, basically, non-competitive grants for programs that qualified. Obviously, we said sure, because this is there's a lot of staff time and hours and energy going into this project. It is a monster, and so this has really come in handy. So this IGA here, it's 20-some pages of boilerplate language. Legal has approved it. Page 2 is the big story so far to date. We were able to bill $35,343.48 of the possible $50,000. This IGA lets us do that.
Is this every year you do this, or just...
No, this is just for the initial process. Once we get accredited, the daily bed rate that we get from the state will go up. More than enough to match, because once you're accredited, you have to pay every year to stay accredited, and then you go through many processes like this.
Yeah,
we all get that from working with the city, but this is just that initial lift to get us over the top.
Does this help us in our ability to take people from out of the county and house them here?
Oh, it certainly does.
Yeah.
In the contracting world,
which
if we wanted to do more,
as well.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And it bumps everything. Our daily bed rate will go up significantly once we do this, even for the contracting that we do now.
Yeah. Commissioner Morgan?
So we have 2 pages before your packet in ours, and they're a document return statement and a contractor tax identification number. Could those possibly have been with the Public Works and just out of order?
Those go with that one.
They do go with
probably
this one?
For our application. Yeah.
So I'm wondering who it is that... Oh, yeah, here's Oregon Health Authority, Department of Human Services. So not sure who would be the contractor. Who's the appropriate signatures on these forms is what I'm trying to look at for the sake of the...
Our thought was that being under the $50,000, it would be the liaison.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, I just wanted to acknowledge that it was a different form than normal, so.
Gotcha.
Our neighbors to the north and the south, are they accredited also? Douglas and Jackson?
They are.
Curry?
Curry is not, but they don't have a similar program. And I'm not sure where Douglas and Jackson are on the process.
I was just kind of brought that question up when Commissioner Fowler asked, you know, can we bring in?
Mm-hmm.
Because we are and they're not.
Right.
That's what I was wondering.
Absolutely, we can. I mean, this opens up a lot depending on how much contracting we want to do.
Mm-hmm. Especially over the mountains.
Yes.
On the eastern counties.
Right.
Yeah, that are looking for a place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If not our neighbors. But I bet, Curry would be interested in this one. Yeah, Commissioner Dion? Or Morgan?
No, I'm good. I support moving forward.
Your hand's moving. You're stretching.
Oh, sorry. My ring was
reading into it.
My ring was sideways, sorry.
I was reading into it. Any other questions, discussions? Any reason not to move it forward to next week's business session?
Nope. Not mine.
Consent. I am in Salem on Wednesday. I can send somebody if you need somebody to speak to it.
I think you could do that right off the air, couldn't you?
I'd be happy to cover for you.
I saw that. Right. I saw her volunteer. Right. I sense her volunteerism.
You know, it's right along with the dunk tank.
Yeah. Her finger moves, so you're up.
Yep.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
And you did it in 5 minutes.
All right. Right.
Good job.
Tell Susan we miss seeing her.
Yes.
Okay. Item 1C is public health. Mr. Weber, an intergovernmental agreement with Lane County and Josephine County for food handlers licensing.
And I'll see if I can beat the record. This one is also really easy. It's a longstanding IGA we've held with Lane County to host the food handlers permitting website. Background essentially boils down to it used to be handled by third-party companies for most counties, and there was a little bit of a price gouging going on, not just for the counties themselves, but for the people who were applying for the permits. Mm. Lane County opted to create their own website for doing the food handling testing online. They only charge $10, so it's very affordable for the citizen.
Yeah.
And other counties looked at that and said, that's a really good idea. And now most counties use their system.
How much does it cost us to use their system?
We get paid.
What?
We get a cut of the $10.
I mean, so there's no cost to us?
No.
Wow.
So
it's a win and a win?
I might be wrong about that. There may be an upfront cost, but I think we get reimbursed and we make money off of it ultimately.
Well, it serves to our customers.
Yes.
That's the biggest thing. I mean, you know, I know there are places where it's $150 to try and get a food handler's permit so you can get a fast food job. Well, it's just not reasonable.
That takes a while to pay back.
Is there any training that goes into that?
They don't provide the training, but there are resources.
Or is it just, hey, I'm a food handler now because I paid my $10.
No, you have to take,
there's an online class.
Okay.
Yeah.
There is an online class. I think it costs more, but the resources, you can get the resources online, and you can do the study yourself. And that's what most people do. So.
And it's 100%. Nobody avoids that does any food handling.
It's part of our restaurant inspections. We ensure that all the people that need it have it.
Right.
So,
do you have it?
Once upon a long time ago.
Okay. Just curious.
Just out of curiosity, I should hop on and get mine just so I'm more familiar with the process. But.
Right.
I had my wife go through that.
For the. I don't think you need it for cold cereal.
Thank you.
I don't think you need it for an egg McMuffin.
You gotta watch. You gotta watch. Yeah, you go mad. Go ahead. Let me see your food handling license. Is that
enough? Oh, shoot.
Well, we know who's gonna be doing the cooking moving forward in your house.
Yeah, how's that couch working for you?
Yeah.
If she's listening to this meeting, you're in trouble.
Yeah. Hope you and your lady will get along really well.
Offer to pay the $10 for it. That'll go.
Shoot, that devolved into a humorous note.
All right.
Thanks for finishing us off.
Yes.
We're going to give you the record.
Thank you much.
Pulled it down in 4. Yes, your quarterly update. That's a totally different animal. No pressure there. So we'll move that one forward to Wednesdays, too.
Yep. Thank you.
But I don't think it's ongoing, so you don't have to be there. Is that what we think as a board for next Wednesday?
I can easily cover this if you don't want to be there.
Okay. I'll confirm all the numbers and any other details.
Write up a little
cheat
sheet.
Great.
Thank you.
Good. See you in 2 hours.
Maybe.
You can see the future? Hello.
Good morning, Christine.
How are you, Lisa?
Fine,
welcome.
Thank you.
This is item number 2 on our agenda, a Veterans Services quarterly update.
Well, it's a 6-month update at this point.
Okay. Edited.
A little bit edited.
Halfway.
So, did you guys all get your update? It was supposed to be handed out to you guys yesterday. She said, everybody got it.
It's in here.
It's here.
So just kind of going through, this is going to cover July through December. We have increased our workflow incredibly. 10% on our in-office clients. We've increased our outreach clients by 19.9%, and we projected a 10% increase on that last year with the realignment of our staff, and we really superseded that.
That's great.
Yeah, it's busy. We've had a few new members to the group, which is really good. And our phone calls are just going, are skyrocketing. So we have a few changes in the Department of Defense's policies, regulations. We have some legislative changes, and so that has brought about this onset of customers coming into our office and wanting to get clarification. In the last 6 months, or from July to December, our recoveries, our retro dollars were $972,000. Our forwarding money from that, I believe, is about $500,000. So that's pretty significant. It was up 24.4% from the first, from January to June. And that's pretty significant for the year. We're in pretty good shape. We're operating under budget. We lost the VSO to Jackson County in November. We've been juggling down there quite a bit. And with the onset of these new Vietnam veterans coming out of the woods, we are in the process of hiring. I do all my interviews tomorrow. Like, I have 9 of them to do tomorrow. Oh, wow. So we're going to be getting somebody.
You're busy tomorrow.
Well, when it comes to the interview process, I give every veteran a window of opportunity to present themselves at an interview. I just think it's something that is right. And it's cumbersome for sure, but I just think it's important that every veteran get a window of opportunity to a chance at the job. So our Blue Water Navy, the Vietnam Veterans Act of 2019, that is what is creating the hoopla. And so if you're all very familiar with that, I won't necessarily go into that. But
this is our loophole for you, Anna. Yeah.
Not necessarily, we won't get
okay,
it.
Okay, never mind.
Yes, that'll cover him on it. That backs him up.
I am not going to comment.
Don't comment. No.
Sorry,
comment.
Don't. Need to go there.
And the new Appeals Modernization Act has really doubled our workload. So it used to be if a veteran went into the appellate process, he would go into the appellate process with either his whole claim and all the conditions on the claim would be under appeal, or he would choose 2 or 3 of those conditions and that would be under the appeal and the rest of them would die off. Now, as it sits, if a veteran has 5 or 6 disabilities, they can choose 1 disability going through this process as a higher level review. 2 of these guys we're going to take and we're going to throw them into a BVA process, so the board has to make decisions on them. And then the other 3 we're going to add supporting documentation and put them into another process. And so then what happens is you have multiple wheels turning at the same time in one claiming process. And if he comes in 7 months later, these guys are still all on appeals in different stages of the appeal, and he comes in 7 months later with other conditions, then that goes into a claiming process. And so when it comes to consulting with a veteran, especially through this new Appeals Modernization Act, it can take us an hour and a half to figure out where each disability is in what stage of appeal, of appellate process. And when we're arguing them, that's even becomes more cumbersome. So it's added a great deal of time to every claim that we develop, and our workload has increased incredibly. And so we're seeing a little bit of unraveling, not too much, not too bad. We're, as a team downstairs, we're taking measures for accountability, and we're really supporting each other and backing each other up, which is what we need to do in this whole, and to be a really solid office. That's good. Oregon Department of Veteran Affairs is trying to implement a new accreditation standard. They're going to standardize how they see VSOs and how VSOs operate. We are going to be held to benchmarks. We have to perform a certain amount of claims per year, appeals per year. We will be, they will be policing all of our stuff to, for us to be able to obtain and sustain accreditation. They came out with this whole process, and the Oregon County Veteran Service Officers Association said, whoa, time out, you can't do that. Let's get back to the, let's go to the drawing board, at least get us in on, around the table with you when you develop all these processes. It was pretty harsh what they came up with, so we're having those development meetings coming up with our education team. But really what's going to be happening is our education requirements are going to increase incredibly. So that, again, is going to be another... It may be another budgetary constraint down the road. Go ahead.
On that note, mm-hmm. Association of Oregon Counties, we very much push back on any unfunded mandates. So if they're going to be increasing requirements and demand, they need to provide the funding for it. And if we need to get the association behind you guys to help push that, we can.
Okay. That's good to know.
No unfunded mandates from... state agencies.
Yep. Without a fight.
Yeah.
They still do it.
Sure.
We don't want them to do it without a fight.
But definitely, and Derek DeGroote is one of the co, Ken Humbertson and Derek DeGroote, both our county college classmates, are the co-chairs of that committee, and so this would be worth reaching out to them.
And they're politically probably as opposite as oil and water.
So
but
they,
they're both veterans.
They have taken on...
good.
They have taken on the cost of our online training, mm-hmm. and but it's a requirement now for us where it never used to be a requirement. And they're also taking on the cost of the regional training. So they have a team of trainers that are coming regionally
good.
To do regional training. So I don't know that I see any other cost other than, you know, what are the time in the office, you know, the time that it takes for us to do... quarterly online training, and it's 2.5 hours a pop. And
yeah, if it's double the workload.
But then you have to document your whole. You have to document your whole operation,
right?
So you can prove it. And I see, a tendency to say, you know what, I need to get my numbers up, so I'm just going to go. I'm going to go get my numbers up. Is it a percentage of population,
how many
veterans you serve or not serve? Or
we're funded by a percentage of population. We have a base funding amount, and then they also give us its funding per veteran per capita. So if you look at our funding, they will send you out that package in July 1st when we request our funds to flow through. We're getting higher funding amounts due to the lottery dollars that are coming in to fund our program, so which has allowed programs to expand throughout the state and hire more individuals, and that process has brought ODVA to a point where it's like, okay, now we have to. There used to be maybe 50 service officers in the state of Oregon. Now they're pushing 100, so they have to. You know, and they're accrediting them all to the federal VA. So they have to kind of streamline their, standardize their process.
From a citizen standpoint, all of these levels of government and all of this is, it's supposed to be the money comes down from on high for the veteran. And it's not. It's going to all the programs and all of this stuff. Mm-hmm. And then it's kind of like, the amount of money that flows into the state of Oregon for health. And by the time it actually gets to the guy that really needs it, there's nothing left. It's all done. It's everybody takes their 8% or their 10%, and by the time it gets right down to paying the veteran something, they're, we're sorry, we can't help you out there.
I don't know. I just
rattle off 12 minutes of...
12 minutes,
advancing
these already?
Programs, ooh. Advancing this program and that program. When you say the word program, I see the word cost, and I don't see the word results.
So we have been able
and
to
is
expand.
Is the money going to the right spot, or is it going to wages for a county, state, or
we've been able to
location?
Expand our program based on the lottery dollars. So we have an increased amount of funding to expand our outreach and with those lottery dollars, and that's coming in. And really, that's what's been.
Where would the lottery dollars go if you didn't go to your program? If the lottery dollars was earmarked for the veterans program, and it didn't go to, and it didn't go, if it's, yep, we're going to do this for veterans.
There's a certain amount of the lottery dollars that are earmarked for our program, for the veteran service offices throughout the state, period. Okay. And then there's a bunch of lottery dollars that are earmarked for veterans in housing, and there's a bunch of lottery dollars earmarked for veterans in WorkSource and finding them jobs. And so it disseminates down that way, and there's lottery dollars for nonprofits to start nonprofit organizations to start different modalities for veterans to reintegrate. You know, so they have special lottery dollars that are going to nonprofits that are taking veterans up camping and trying to get their families put together, and you know, for surfing, as an outreach for surfing programs, and all these recreational modalities that seem to be helping the veterans integrate faster, better, and become more productive parts of our community quicker. So some lottery dollars are going to that as well. Okay. But I see money coming down the pike, and that's I believe why Oregon Department of Veteran Affairs is standardizing their process, because and holding us and creating a higher accountability for each VSO. And quite honestly, I think it's warranted. The more we know about our job, the easier it is for us to get maximum benefit per veteran, with everyone that walks in the door. And, you know, it's a very complex process when you're dealing with disability claiming processes and laws, rules, and regulations that continually change as we go. So I think training is very important in it, and it really benefits the veteran in the long run. So I commend what they're doing. How they went about trying to do it is something else. It's something that, you know, the association is taking them to the table and saying, hey, we need to do a round table on how this is all going to be implemented. And that's good. I mean, we talk really well. We communicate very well. Our association, Oregon County Veteran Service Offices Association, the state of Oregon, Oregon Department of Veteran Affairs. We try to keep an open line of communication. OCVSOA, Oregon County Veteran Service Officers Association, is moving to a new model. We have been working on this project for a year. It's been fairly cumbersome. As treasurer, I'm heading it up. We are going to a 501c6 model. We were sitting as an unincorporated entity for a very long time, since 1993. It doesn't serve us anymore to sit in that unincorporated entity realm. So, and also for compliancy issues, we have now a whole lot more service officers. County dues, annual dues to the association are increasing the maximum amount of money that we can actually sit at as an unincorporated entity under the state legally. So we're moving to that 501c6 model that will allow us to, as an association, to write grants for, you know, big projects at the state level if we so choose, monuments or whatever we want to do at the state level. We have a little bit more flexibility there. So that's coming into play. We are moving forward. As of yesterday, we have all our new bylaws and accountability structure set up, and now we're just moving forward with that. So we'll be doing that. I'll be heading that up these next few months, and hopefully that'll be resolved by July, I'm hoping. Like I said, we're down three-quarter staff. We're going through the interview process tomorrow, and hopefully we'll get somebody in the seat here pretty quick. Our work-study program is kind of null. We haven't had any work-studies for a while. We're set up for a work-study now. The other D Street we're all set up over there. We just have a hard time finding them now with the campuses having their veterans rooms out there. They're hiring six or seven work studies where 5 years ago they didn't have any. So we had all the kids that were going utilizing their GI Bill. We were putting them to work. The VA was paying them. It was a great, it was a really great symbiotic relationship for us and the veteran as well.
Do they still have the OJT program, the on-the-job training program? Because they have that or the...
They do have the on-the-job training program through the state and stuff. The work-study program is a great program, though, because the federal VA pays them minimum wage. They can work up to 25 hours a week, so that's like $800, $900 a month they can make and while they're going to school. And especially while they were, when they were working in the courthouse, you know, some of them have gone off to be, you know, representatives up in Salem. We have some of my work studies. One of them ended up as a psychologist down at the VA. We had a really successful work study program and really promoted a mentoring program for these kids to just move forward. And, you know, we were their cheerleaders, and a lot of them have been very successful. But now they're able to stay on campus. They don't have to drive off campus and come here, you know, come to the office or whatever. And so it's easier for them. So that's what they're, you know, the campus kind of started a work-study program. So the vet center is in the same position we are. They're having a really hard time getting or retaining work-studies because of the campuses. So our music program is growing great. We got a couple really good musicians in there now that are Vietnam veterans. We are looking to open up I've been talking about this for about a year. I finally got some people on board that are going to help me head it up. We're looking to open up a Wednesday night session for some younger kids because there's some younger veterans that are really interested, but they work and take care of their families. And so we're looking to open up the D Street for younger kids in the, at night, and it's probably on a Wednesday night at this point, and that may happen in a few months. We might start putting that out there. Our Healthy Families program is on the back burner right now. Our workload down in the office, especially when we're down three-quarter person, has been struggling with that a little bit. We didn't have anybody sign up in last September, for this pilot program or this program. The pilot program did excellent. We did have a handful of veterans deploy from the 1186. We were hoping that we could really target those families. We did everything we could to put the word out there. We haven't had a great deal of response, but there is a yellow ribbon coming up in May, which is for the spouses, really. So we're going to be attending the yellow ribbon and talking to the spouses about maybe this program. And it's a really good program to get the kids into while their dads are deployed, get mom into while their dads are deployed. I shouldn't say the word program. I need to come up with a better word.
Keep going. You're up to 46 yeah, I'm on up the word to 46. Program. Define combat veteran for me.
Well, the CFR does that pretty well under 3.4. Hold on, let me...
Searching.
Yeah.
Right. The little thing is turning on.
Anybody that has been deployed into a combat area or has an insignia combat. That work for you?
No, it doesn't answer.
I'll send you the CFR regulation.
Send me the CFR regulation.
I will read it. I will send the CFR regulation.
Asking. Because I've had people say, you know, for instance, our mayor, he was in the Air Force, and one of our soldiers of fortune around here, I said, well, the mayor was in the Air Force. Oh, you weren't a combat veteran. Just kind of shunned him.
That's not true.
And just kind of shunned him like he didn't exist anymore, that his time in service meant nothing.
And that 20 years.
And that irritated me probably more than anything else. And so when I see the name combat veteran, I want to know what a combat veteran is.
Really what we look for is a veteran that has been in any hostile territory. You know, so my son is in the Air Force. He's a combat veteran.
No, but Navy's different because they could be out in the ocean.
But I need...
But not necessarily on land.
I need you...
So how do you define that?
I just need... an answer to what a combat veteran is. You say, well, then he's
well,
in
he
it.
He went through a city council meeting, so he should be a combat veteran.
Yeah.
I'll send you the CFR regulation that denotes a combat veteran.
Let me set you up with a BSO here.
That's all three of you. Okay. It's really the combat insignia.
Then you went,
it's the combat insignia that...
And then you said, well, that's somebody that's been to a hostile situation. I want to know what that is. You just keep adding names that I don't
know. All right,
I'll
send you the regulation.
Because I want to be able to answer the guy. When the guy
says
he's not a combat veteran, I want to be able to combat that. I didn't think it was right.
4.25, but I don't think it's USCS 4.2. I don't know.
You'll
do
your homework for
it. I'll walk out of here and I'll come right to me.
3.30,
That's 3.309 is all the presumptives, and 3.311.
3.304 is direct service connection, wartime.
No.
Okay.
Wartime is different than combat. So maybe I should say wartime veteran instead of combat veteran. This was, he served in a wartime. But typically our guys, except for one of them, all our guys in the music group are combat veterans. They all went to Vietnam. They all had boots on ground. They all did what they had to do. Not all of them have an insignia of combat, but right. I'm looking at hostile territory, really, is how I define for somebody in the music group.
Let us know.
I will do that. Fair question. Very good, Dan. Thanks for keeping me
well,
on.
Thanks
for keeping me
I'm
on
I'm not
my
a
toes.
Combat veteran because I didn't step on the pier.
I didn't lie
about my service.
Yeah, but you were in hostile territory.
No.
Yeah, you
not
were.
Not according to the Soldier of Fortune.
Not according to the Soldier of Fortune.
Well, that's okay.
Lastly, we have a list of our upcoming events, our outreach events for the year. We have the Yellow Ribbon. It's a Saturday. I didn't add it on here. It's not really one of our it's kind of an outreach event, but it doesn't really fall under these where we're all integrating the whole community. So we're going to keep our outreach schedule pretty thin this year. We'll be doing a lot of training for the newbie that's coming in. So this is what our year kind of looks like at this point. Dan's going to be speaking at 3 of them. So I will leave you with this. Do any of you have any questions for me?
I'll trade you.
Beside the combat veteran question, I will follow up with all three of you.
That'd be really swell.
Yeah. I don't have anything else. Any other commissioners?
Good job.
Who is your association staffed through? Do you have affiliation with the Association of Bergen Counties, or are you guys?
We do. What's our guy? Our guy
Andy.
Is Andy. Yeah.
Okay. So I just...
Andy's great.
Yeah. And he's an attorney as well, so that's even double good there for...
He's really abreast of...
All this.
All of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure we get all the resources we can to help you.
Yeah.
And so you guys aren't facing it alone, so...
As an association, we're pretty solid, really. Yeah. Thank you very much
for
letting me share my program.
Good luck tomorrow.
Sorry.
It's a beneficial and
me too.
That the right person comes
walking through
very
the
door. Clearly.
Yeah. Cool. That
and thank you for what you do, because I know that the people that walk through your door are from all the way from here all the way to here.
Yeah.
As far as engaging and and what they're up to. And so your ability to serve that wide of a swath is very impressive. Thank you.
You can have that. I didn't touch it. Well, I didn't touch it, but not for you.
Just the outside.
Arthur, are you...
Great, thanks, Lisa.
Thank you.
Let's move to item 3, which is budget review documents 2020 and 21.
Thank you.
Finance Director Arthur O'Hare. How are you, sir?
Very good.
Good.
Very good. Another lovely day today.
I like it.
So, what?
I read your draft.
Ah, good. Okay, well, we'll go. I wanted to do a quick thing first. AOC dues.
Mm-hmm.
This is an annual invoice they give us. We budget for it every year. Mm-hmm. But just as a courtesy and to keep you up to date on things, I bring it to the board to say they billed us, and unless there's any objections, we'll go ahead and pay it.
How much?
It is $27,000.
So hold on. Let's talk about the full picture, though.
Okay.
So the full picture is that they have dues that are programs that were kind of mandated dues.
Right.
And then we have dues that are voluntary dues. Right. I don't think we ever really have a conversation about the voluntary dues and where those, if those
we
are programs.
We just keep doing the same voluntary well, ones each year.
I don't know what we do or not. So
Last year we did. Last year we talked about it.
Okay.
And the specific dues that are voluntary that we are paying was Federal Land Management Subcommittee and the Council of Forest Trust Land Counties.
Yes, which...
So those two...
What are the other voluntary options?
There are the other voluntary options that we have not been paying traditionally. Video Lottery, PERS Alliance, the Council Forest Trust Land Voluntary Assessment Dues, and Veterans Funds Voluntary Dues. So, but if there's interest in pursuing that, let me make a copy of this, get it to you, and because they do provide, every year, they provide an explanation of what those dues cover.
Right.
I think we ought to look into the video lottery thing with the upcoming TMB racing, maybe?
So
I don't know what they do.
I don't know if that's organized.
I would ask him to read the definition, because I understand is that they've been advocating for us on a portion that comes back to the counties on video lottery proceeds, and it's like 2.5% or something like that, if I remember correctly. But there's been some pushes at different times to take that away from counties. So as we do with county services, AOC has some voluntary dues that if we want representation in these areas, we can pay into the due structure for it. Not that we're not benefiting from the others that pay, but it's kind of like if you use it, you take it.
We're not excluded, but it would be nice.
Going off of somebody else's shirt tails.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But they might be riding on ours on another. And so it'd be nice to see.
Well,
I imagine you'd have a voice at the table, though, if you had some input on
that. So I do know that by us paying the dues on the County Forest Trust lands and the Federal Lands Management, the Federal Lands Management being that 7 a.m. special meeting.
Right.
And the County Forest Trust lands, which Dave Yamamoto, they have that special meeting at AOC every year as well. We only have a vote because we pay dues on those two meetings. So if you don't pay dues, you don't have a vote in those meetings. Whereas some of the other, say you came to public safety steering, you have a vote just because you're a commissioner, and that's under your general dues. Mm-hmm. Those special dues, you get a vote on those ones as a paying member.
I wouldn't mind having a look at those.
Yeah, let me make a copy and get that to you.
Yeah.
There's no rush on this. It doesn't have to be today or this
and
week
the hard
next
part
week
with AOC is they go on a calendar year. We go on a fiscal year. Mm-hmm. And so
we only pay 6 months.
No, but we tend to be one of those counties that they're watching and worried about, are they going to pay? Because we get into the second half of their year and we still have, before we pay dues. Yeah.
Right.
So it may be something that we talk about at some point, changing that structure, that we realize we pay second half of our fiscal year, which is the first half of their year.
We just have to pay twice 1 year or whatever to make it
one and a half.
Right.
Well,
or one and a half,
to get on sync with them.
No, I mean, their dues here is from January 1 to December 31, 2020, and we're in February of 2020,
correct.
So we're really not out of
you
line.
Don't have to sit through those budget meetings once we get to July and August and haven't paid yet.
Well, and that has happened in days gone by, because there's been commissioners who are not here today who have... question whether we should continue to participate in AOC or pay certain dues. So that's certainly...
I totally see the value, so I'm up for it.
Well, and the one that I question is the veterans one.
Yeah, that one poked out at me, too.
And I wouldn't mind looking at the other ones to get further description and such like that, but we should look at the differences of the individuals.
Check Dan's video lottery one and see what
We should look at all of them and see what the definitions of all of them are.
All right.
So instead of just saying, here's the base rate, look at the whole thing and say, okay, what are we choosing to take
part in?
Let's
put it back on a meeting soon so that we pay early.
What prize was that burger?
We're paying on time. There have been years when we did not pay until, this
June
year.
June, July,
But this current one, this one is current.
Well, and whatever flag, we'd like
good
to
job.
Still have this conversation in January, February.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All righty. So I'll get that back to you and put it on.
Yeah. Tell the next person in line.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I've got Right, so you had a packet. I've got a copy if you need it, paper. But I want to send out a memo to the department heads and budget contacts that say these are the paperwork that you need to bring to your liaison for their review. It covers the spectrum of what the budget is all about. Program purpose, key performance indicators, program goals, program accomplishments. It also talks about specifically about their revenue streams, their revenue sources, their capital projects, what they anticipate moving forward. So I think it's pretty comprehensive, and if the board agrees that makes a good cohesive approach to the liaison review, then I can send that out and say, this is what you ought to be prepared to discuss when
you meet.
I like
it standardized.
I do, too. This is exactly what I was hoping for.
No question. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody's talking the same language.
At the same time.
They're not adding or deleting something.
They may be adding or deleting. But if all these forms, we as commissioners can take this list and say, okay, do I have this? Do I have this?
Right.
And I would almost recommend, Arthur, if you meet with each of us individually and go over some of these sample forms, show us where we're looking at additions of personnel or those projects.
Okay.
And you know how there's a policy recommendation that we allow some different contract signature levels. Well, if we know we've all looked at this stuff and we've reviewed it before it goes forward, then we're all on the same page and knowing what each other are looking for because we've all...
Yeah, had an eye on it.
Sounds good.
Thank you for this memo and the samples.
Thanks.
Yep. Love it.
And that is what I brought to the board today.
Any further discussion?
Nope, not for me.
Great.
Very good. Well, thank you so much.
So good to see you so often.
Oh, man. It's a pleasure.
We're marching right through this thing. This is swell.
You guys are setting new standards.
Right, setting the bar. Item 4 is other business. Anything we forgot to put on this agenda?
No.
That we need to discuss today? Commissioner Morgan?
A couple weeks ago in legal counsel, we talked about the Lipstick open position. There was not clarity on what the next steps were. I just wanted to make sure, does that mean move forward with a resolution to appoint somebody?
I heard there was another application that came in.
Oh, I haven't been told that.
Yeah, and so I don't know if that's a game changer at all or...
couple three people that have showed interest, but we've gotten one application.
Well, I think we're up to two.
Okay.
Although we talked about moving it forward, we didn't necessarily restrict it to the single candidate that had been.
No, at the time we didn't have another applicant.
Right. Well, we didn't have it.
But I think moving forward and choosing between the two is appropriate.
I didn't know we had more than one, so. I guess my situation, 2 weeks ago, we said move it forward and haven't. I don't know when that other application came in.
Right.
And so,
I know, it's a little clunky.
I just don't want to be moving forward with anything without honoring what the board wants as a whole.
Which I think our obligation was to do it in 3 months, and it's been longer.
Yeah.
And so I'd like to get
it
on
it. It can be longer, because it says or.
Right, says
we all as soon as possible, sooner. Not
I
wait
guess
the
you could
months.
Interpret that to be 6 months.
We're 6 months now.
It in my mind it lands on the or sooner.
Okay,
but you know, it's open. So I just think we need to get someone on there, and I want it to be a high functioning member. So I'd like to look at both applications and make a decision. So get you guys up on that second app and move it forward sooner rather than later.
Okay. Sounds good.
Yep. All right. Moving on to item 5, which is board business. We have 3 plat mats here, one for Blackberry Lane Subdivision Phase 3, one for Capitol Hill Phase 2, and one for Glidewell Estates.
Where is Capitol Hill in Josephine County?
I know. I didn't know we had a Capitol Hill.
I've been to Capitol Hill in Seattle, and I've been to Capitol Hill in D.C., but I do not know where Capitol Hill in Josephine County is.
I know. Almost makes you want to act, doesn't it? I know. I've never heard of it. And it must not be near the Capitol.
Probably a brand new subdivision of somewhere.
Very much could be.
Capitol Hill, probably. It's phase two, so it's obviously got phase one somewhere.
And it's actually probably right here, isn't it? Blackberry. Glidewell. So it must be the last one. Of course it's the last one.
It's a big one.
It is a thick one. Southwest Lincoln Road. Oh, that is the one north of G Street then.
Okay.
Off of Upper River Road.
The old Axtell.
No wonder we hadn't heard of it. There's a Mercury Lane, a Ford Street, and then Capitol Hill.
Okay. Build up out there.
Yeah, good. We have a crisis. Build on. So I guess I'd entertain a motion for each of those individually. Item 5A is the Blackberry Lane.
So moved.
Second.
And second. Any further discussion?
I was just thinking I'd make a motion for the three.
We probably could.
Sleep. It's all good.
Two of them are already started with phases one and phase one and two on Blackberry.
Let's just keep them separate. So all those in favor of 5A Blackberry, please say aye.
Aye.
And aye.
Aye.
That one passes 3-0. I'd entertain a motion on Capitol Hill.
Make a motion, we approve 5B, Capitol Hill, phase 2.
All right, all those in favor say aye.
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 And aye, that one passes 3-0. On item 5C, Glidewell Estates.
I make a motion to approve 5C, Glidewell Estates, plat map.
I'll second.
All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
And aye.
Aye. Sorry, I thought I said it. In my mind, I said it.
You look like you were done.
I took the words out of her mouth, I said.
That one passes 3-0 as well. Okay, let's move on to item D, a movement meeting update. We do have something to look at now. You have this cool book.
Exciting.
That shows some of the movements. We also have decided to explore moving community development into the lower level instead of IT. And leaving IT where they are and looking for a place for CASA and
CAC.
We're right? Still.
Because it seemed like the easiest to move.
We've initiated an exploratory with another potential property, but it isn't for certain yet.
Right, it isn't, but when we started talking about it, they looked like the easiest to move. Moving IT is expensive, and they could actually have future expansion if we move out. And so
the issue is just if we even have any claim or not. So that's what's having to be determined.
Any what?
The building that we were looking for, it wasn't
May or may not.
Wasn't as straightforward as
first thought. But they might not actually have space, and so we were going to look at both.
Yeah, still looking at options. Legal is following up with it.
Yeah, and so that's just my quick summary. I know you probably have something to add, Ryan and Annette.
For myself, the jump-off point is basically the DAs and dispatch. I think we kind of have that ironed out for the most part. Had a chance to look through it.
Yeah.
Page
14.
So engineering-wise, the recommendation is still to cut through the basement of the inside of the building?
It's probable that we can do it and create a separate entrance without too much trouble. Cost is always an issue. That piece for the separate entrance, I don't believe is going to be the big hurdle. If you take a look at the last page, the overall cost, I think, is the
the sticking point on a lot of this.
It's a little sticker shock.
That's why I'm glad Arthur's still here.
So. Yep.
Are there any grant applications out there for seismic for any of these purposes?
I requested that from Amber, but I haven't touched
it. And there are for seismic. And we can move without the seismic and still pursue it in the future.
Yes. It would. I know that there was a lot more options potentially when 911 was still here and city police.
Right.
But I'm hopeful that there's still some other ones available.
And we had a last minute request for the sheriff dispatch.
Yes.
That kind of happened as we rounded the calendar year. And so we've included that.
Yeah,
we can save some money by taking the windows out of the finances. Neil, they don't even want to see the outside.
Yeah.
That's a little mean and funny.
Yeah. And there's actually, you know, this is just a budget number, but there is spaces included in here, HR, surveyor, legal counsel, and clerk. I believe a lot of that we can take care of internally over time to take a big chunk off this.
What are the T's?
The T's.
T, yeah, it says T, and there's no designation as what they're assigned to?
Those are the restrooms.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm just curious. I'm looking at page 10, which is the surveyor's department. I know at some point in the past we talked about taking a portion of the mailroom and giving it to that portion. There's a huge empty open space not used in that. I mean, it's not very well utilized.
As far as the mailroom goes?
Correct.
Yeah.
Even I mean, that's a huge office space for kind of how it's utilized.
Yeah, and we tried not to just move things for the sake of moving them by expanding the area right next to the surveyors into the old custodial office area. That was the easiest area to open up. And all these spaces.
But there's already an existing door to the mailroom from surveyors.
Yes, there is.
Right.
I'm just thinking so that, yeah, easy that move is a door already exists versus moving other walls and such.
And if we're doing it in-house, we could look at that as you're doing it.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Yeah,
and removing the interior walls that they have marked here is really not a big deal either.
Okay. I had also brought up on that same page that state courts has a portion here, and with them getting the whole upper floor, that anything that state courts needs to move to that upper floor and not occupy any of the basement or the first level anymore.
Yeah. And I was going to talk to David Strauss about that along with the clerk's area, because there is definitely some errors in the clerk's area on the layout, on the new layout.
Right, and here's a little timeline sheet that we forgot to give you. It's not necessarily how we're going to do it, but it's when it's available to be done, because it's, and it's now contingent on, of course, when the police move out, since that's been extended. But we think the DA was really first, so we can get them moved. Then you can work on courts and lower level at the same time. Mm-hmm.
And then I think dispatch now has kind of jumped towards the front of the line.
That's true.
Sheriff
needing more space for dispatch,
And since we're doing the upgrade to the consoles or replacing the consoles and the equipment, it would be ideal to move them down to the old 911 area right now while some of that old equipment is still there.
It's gone. Or at least the desks are gone now.
Yeah, but some of the radio equipment and stuff we could still use.
Okay.
Get it up and running,
right.
A desk, workstation.
Yeah.
And then have them come down the hall and then do our work where they're currently at, put in the new stuff, demo walls, and then bring them back down.
Yeah.
You're going to put forestry in where veterans used to be. And veterans is now a fairly good sized space, and you're going to move them down the hall to two little guys.
Which page are you on, Dan?
10.
Ten.
Yeah, I was worried about that, too, that veterans looks like they're getting less space.
This is Lisa's office and the other VSO, and then your...
That's what it used to be, right?
Yeah, page 10.
Your that's interviewers.
This is old,
I think.
Yeah.
Page 10 is the current layout, unless it's in orange.
Okay.
It is in orange.
Okay, got it.
But that's not the current.
Yeah, it's still labeled forestry, but this is veterans.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I know that's veterans. That's what I mean. That's not a future that's going to be forestry.
We're not proposing to be able to live
in. No. Okay. And that's a mislabel. We can grab that.
It's a mislabel, yeah.
Did you catch what I had said, Darren, about the state office in the basement moving that to the top floor?
No, well, it already did, right?
Well, it's on here.
I don't know. I think it's mislabeled.
It's a server room, but I would ask that they figure out space upstairs to accommodate so that they're not having to come to the basement for a purpose.
Yeah, currently they just have all their servers and fire suppression in there, so we could look at bringing that up somewhere else just to eliminate their presence there at all.
I think having distinguished spaces is a good thing for everybody.
Yeah, and adjacent space is always better.
Yeah.
Clearly. Well, and so we really thought it started rounding a corner, and it was time to ask the commissioners, are we headed in the right direction? And that leads into this sheet, which is under all that, where we're talking about the Dimmitt campus. And if eventually we got community development in the lower level, that opens up some ability to sell more properties. Because you see the little gray ones that are together on A and Dimmick?
Those are parking lots.
Those are parking lots and ready to sell tomorrow. The two yellow ones above it are also parking lots ready to sell tomorrow for multifamily or single family, whatever a developer wanted to do. But then even some of the green, the top two away from Dimmick, is available for sale. Exactly. And can be developed as housing.
They've already built a new house next door to that.
Right, and then we could start using the proceeds from the sale of that to do our movement, since we don't have as much money as we always wished. Yes, Annette?
Helene gave us this math, and we also talked about potentially splitting this property and then keeping where health department is and facilities, and then just selling off this portion.
Right, and trying to demolish the building and making it more attractive.
Yeah.
Born in that building, you can't, man. That's a shrine.
We'll give you a souvenir brick.
Yeah, we'll give you a souvenir brick. I like it.
It's a brick. Born in that building, I'll buy it.
And so, almost beats it.
Crank that.
This is recorded.
Crank that from the record. Hearsay, strictly hearsay.
Did you want to add, Helene? Did you want to put
Well, so we're kind of asking for permission to at least market the yellow and the gray and separate them off of the whole Dimmick thing being in one sale so that maybe someone would have an opportunity to build more housing. Because of our debt service on that property, I don't think we can incentivize the property in any way, like the city's trying to do to get multifamily and stuff.
It never works out for the entity.
Right.
Helene, have you received any interest in the whole thing? And that's a pretty good sized chunk for somebody to want.
Well,
and maybe splitting it up makes perfectly good sense.
I wasn't going to say that, but I, you know, just 2-3 days ago, I met with Business Oregon and Regional Solutions, and this wasn't something it wasn't even on the radar. And so the potential of us actually coming up with an innovative idea, and I don't want us selling off parking lots before we look at the potential of what could go on the bigger space. You might need parking lot space.
Well, that's kind of why I wanted to hang on to the green, because it's got extra parking now, and community development, if they end up in the lower level, then that whole green could sell with the orange.
Would any of this qualify for executive session to talk about any of this kind of stuff that we could talk about some ideas and some potential?
I'd ask legal, and they said because there's no offer, there's no pending transaction, then it wouldn't qualify.
Okay.
But that's what I understand.
That was the first answer, yep.
I still think there is something the county can do as far as finding a way to incentivize a And I think we would even qualify for an application through Business Oregon for workforce housing, a partnership for providing a much-needed workforce, multi-family workforce housing. And then you would need the space for maybe a community building and parking to accommodate multi-structure, multi-family residential to meet workforce housing needs, which we are hearing left and right is one of the biggest needs
Absolutely.
In our community. And so I would hate to piecemeal off what could potentially be a way to work with. There are $5 million in grants right now available through that are coming up through Business Oregon and
for the whole state.
Yes, well, but it's competitive. And then
can you use it to tear down a building?
Potentially we can do all of that. So the brown field, there's some potential funding that would help clear the space and then incentivize to partner with private to develop the space for workforce housing. And with that, I would want us to explore before we got down
it's
the path.
It's the start of a conversation, so
correct.
I think you're right.
And actually having those...
What do you think of the idea of working towards a lot line adjustment and keeping the health department there? Because health department's really expensive to move.
They are, but that space is really not very well utilized. The hallways are for emergency room. They've made the best of the space that they can.
But we could remodel it and add vertically in that space as well.
I actually got some drawings yesterday and met with Michael about relaying out parts of public health to make it work for them for the next 10, 20 years. The other thing we discussed is potentially if we were going to move them to build something new where the tower used to sit on that space and then potentially move community development across the street and renovate the public health space for them. So different scenarios we've looked at.
I wouldn't want them to go on 084 where the tower, that's probably the prime. Do something for public health up in the 994 and 050 up in that corridor.
I would rather get them back to the central corridor and getting them away from the residential. It's no longer a hospital and medical offices in the area like it used to be. A multi-story, multi-family workforce housing. The six-story hospital that had been there, that's not going to be a big deal to have multi-story housing there. But if you think about expanding anything else in there for businesses and such, it's just off the beaten path enough that it's not near other stuff. So
I think it's more residential.
It was one of the things Marta and I were talking about with the potential of, is there any space somewhere else that we can co-locate with another service or do something else? You know, we know that AllCare is not moving forward with their phase two, and it was priced so high that it would have priced us out of being able to even consider it. But it doesn't mean that there isn't still potential of where would be the right fit be.
Right.
Is there, if we're going to build, this is not where I would optimally build to get that service. It's not on a bus line. It's not on, I would want to get them either up to the Washington area near the DHS building where there is a bus line or out by the hospital where there's a bus hub. Something that actually, if you think about lower income folks that are WIC and accessing services, I want to move them more towards transportation possibilities instead of keeping them so far out of.
Well, and we kind of thought that was a chess piece to be moved later, you know, because we have a lot going on in this building and in the neighborhood that we don't have the money for already. So
it's really good to have the conversation about low-income housing and so on and so forth. But until the government takes a lot of the regulation away and the cost of building, you're going to get a Bill Lovelace who'll step right here in this room and say, you can't make it. You can't give me enough incentive to build anything.
And please know that's
a quarter
not
of a million dollars.
I'm saying workforce housing.
Workforce housing. It doesn't matter. It doesn't pencil.
Yeah, the multifamily is tough.
It really doesn't matter who's going in there. It's all the crap you pile on it at this level in the government and all the requirements and all the permits and everything he's got to have. It does not pencil. I don't care who the renter is.
I hear you.
So what I'm hearing
you do
is,
that.
is donating. This sounds pretty good.
I haven't made it all the way through it. I'm sorry. I tried yesterday between
we
meetings.
We could allow that for the...
On the Dimmick property, the one piece I would like to agree on is that we take down the original hospital. It's gotten to a point.
Dan's Hospital?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes,
sorry.
Please.
Yeah, we really... We
the
need
last
to
snowstorm wiped out the roof.
Tour.
It's going to become another tower.
We could give you a final tour, I swear.
We'll give you a
you're
mask
You're going to go through there
well.
And you're going to go, oh my God, take this thing down.
Yeah. Yeah. I have the invoice that my dad had to pay for me to get born in that hospital.
Got $170?
No, it was like $18 or something. He contested it because it had delivery room fees on it, and I wasn't delivered in, I was in a regular room because the delivery room was busy. So they just put my mom in a regular room, and I was born in a regular room. My dad said, delivery room? I was in a regular room. I'm not paying
it. It's contested.
That takes $7 off or something. It was really...
Oh, my gosh.
Comical. This
that
is to read.
Great.
I went, holy cow, that's something.
This is definitely... I went to that hospital when I was a kid because that's where public health was when I was a kid.
I remember that.
And
shot there,
yeah. I even went to the dentist over there. And I remember getting shots there, and my still have the card with my immunization records from that old hospital and the tunnels underneath it to the house across the street.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That I didn't know. Okay, and we want a tour now.
I'd like to have a tour.
And we need some flashlights.
I'll
good
put
ones.
That down. I'd like to have a tour of the old hospital.
Wear your boots.
Yeah.
Let's
say you wear your boots.
But it would be interesting to see. But I would support us looking for, I think there's some financial things, and we actually could come up with a plan and say, this is how much of we do is always reactionary. And to be intentional, to be strategic, to plan.
Yep,
to
early.
Where do we need to take care of that we're not paying twice or three times because we weren't strategic about it. And I know that Marta was going to get back to you as our economic development and community development liaison to kind of
right.
try to follow
and
up with some of the ideas
she
was
hasn't
coming up
yet,
with.
But it seems like removing that building's priority one.
I think
secondarily,
so.
But you could look for a home.
Do you know?
We had estimates, was it?
250.
6-7 years ago, I think.
Yeah,
it was 250 to 300,000.
3 to 350.
But we've had remediation on that. Not remediation, but we've had the
no further action
study done that identifies everything.
Oh, yeah. Assessment
and,
of what the
yeah. And we did remove the fuel tanks that.
And we removed the fuel tanks. Yeah,
yeah.
Underground.
Right. And was there a heating issue from building to building?
Well, it was all heated from the central plant. It was all steam.
Central plant stays.
Yeah.
For now.
Yeah, for now. That's directly
behind
the public health.
Okay.
Yeah.
This little guy
just
right here.
Sure, I got that.
I would like to...
Lithium bromide pipe.
Yes. Yes. I would like to clean that up and empty it out along with the demolition of the original hospital.
Yeah.
Because
Christian
that's a usable
Marie.
Building for other things.
Yeah.
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 And it's environmentally nice.
I don't know what you do with that stuff.
I know. But... I think the longer we wait to get rid of it, the more it's going to cost
yep.
us to do.
Is the double old hospital brick?
Concrete.
At least concrete
and wood.
It's concrete and wood. It's not brick?
No.
Okay.
No.
Never mind.
But
so
I think
what,
there is a few bricks.
Who pursues the...
Or a chunk of concrete.
Or a chunk of
he's
concrete.
The brownfield expert.
Yeah.
But Amber
so
and Arthur...
it lands on your desk?
Yeah. I've sent emails to
Marta...
Okay. And to Karen and to the folks at Business Oregon. So I've been trying to communicate with them for probably 6-8 months now about tearing down the old hospital and about whatever funding could be available. So I'm glad to see that it seems like things are moving. And bluntly, although we're anxious to see action, see things done, I don't think there's an urgency that we need to have something done within the next month or 2 months.
Right.
I think we have breathing room to see what Business Oregon can come back to us.
Right.
What opportunities or grants or funding they have.
But we want to get the ball rolling.
Sure.
And we already have got it started.
So. Sure.
Maybe it would help if we had, usually, they say, what is your overall plan for this?
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have an overall plan for
no.
it. Maybe sketch something out.
Pretty much sell it is the plan.
Sell it, yeah, I think that.
But, you know, what is its potential?
Right.
You know, that's what they're going to look for, is what is its potential. If we did keep it, what would
what
we do with it?
Group that was asking
which we're not going to remember.
But I think
tearing the hospital down, that other hospital, everybody, yeah. you kind of walk around people, why didn't you tear them both down?
Right.
Or
right.
And let me add a little wrinkle to the Dimmick property. Overall, community development is going to take over the DEQ function in our county for inspecting septic systems and new installs. And so they're remodeling an office upstairs. It's a pretty gentle remodel. There's just some walls and doorways, some stuff that was added that's taken out. And,
yeah.
And so there's going to be some utilization in that. So they may be the last priority for moving into the lower level. Unless it's sold or something along the way, unless Prince Charming came along. And then we'd have a plan of where they go. We just might have to hire someone to make it happen really fast.
That septic program is not like, it's not a huge program.
It's like two employees because
we used to do septic.
We're gonna, yeah, and now we're going to take over for us and service Curry County because they're about a half and we're about a 1.5 person. Mm-hmm. And it'll all be on DEQ's old fees, so it'll easily pay for itself. And that really looks attractive to both. I had a meeting a couple days ago with Julie Smelter from Curry and Mark, and DEQ's been trying to hand them off forever. They don't want to hand off Jackson County because it makes money for them.
They used to be right
over that one off.
Over in
and we made money for them too, but bad service. We were getting 4 to 6 weeks service, mm-hmm. and now we can shorten that to less than a week.
No, I was excited to hear that update and support that. I'm not saying that we don't look at lot adjustments and different stuff at some point, but I'd like us to definitely make sure we've explored the possibilities why it's a whole before we lose that opportunity by nickel and diming it away.
Yeah, we made that mistake, I feel, when we sold a couple of the properties that are already, that were joined.
Were contiguous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That it wasn't as big and attractive as
one
project. Yeah, we
just left it as a whole until we decided. Right.
But the contingency of trying to move public health somewhere on a sale is tough.
True.
Because their new space is going to take a while, whether it's built or found.
There's vacant space in town right now we could move them to. I just don't know how much we could afford it.
Right.
There is space.
And it could be a bridge to something permanent.
Correct. Right. And or, you know, we renew some conversations with some of our partners in the community and say, if we had to do something and co-locate, what's the potential of where this can go or happen? Yeah. But I definitely would rather us have a plan that we're pursuing if we can versus all of a sudden have the rug pulled out from underneath us.
Right.
And
well, then what if we give you a week to look at this and next Wednesday afternoon when we have our new board business meeting, we could take your input one more time on this one and make sure we're ready to move ahead. The DA thing seems like a slam dunk. We could definitely get started as soon as the police move out.
And dispatch would be good to move.
Yeah, dispatch is first, too. Yeah,
concentrate on those two.
The other piece on Dimmick is I'd like to, we had another group approach us about doing a tour and look at it for some type of housing. I'd like to kind of hold on any kind of tours and just kind of move towards a direction of demo because it's kind of unhealthy right now to be wandering through that building. Yeah,
it's an albatross on a sale for sure.
Well, I see lot line adjustments are going to be in order because this is a goes regular right through the mess.
I know, right?
Oh, yeah, we're going to sell 997. Yeah,
unless
well, I can't
they
get
the whole block.
Bingo. Yeah. I mean, there may be something that, but let's see what our options are before we.
Well, and we can slow play that a little bit.
I think there's other players too that are in the background, the mid-rogue. Foundation has been talking about, you know, your workforce housing and bringing more housing in. So I think there's other opportunities that maybe can come forward to that. And just to throw it out, since we were talking about public health, I mean, I still think we've got the Drury parking lot there is a beautiful location right across from what's going to be the new transit hub. That might be a great location to put a public health building at. I think the example of the new city police building tells us that remodeling an old building is not necessarily the most economical approach or the, you know, cheapest way to get a new building.
But if for instance, just I'm just throwing this out there, if the library moves, that would be, that might be an ideal place for public health.
that would be 5 years out.
But yeah,
if it's 5 years out.
And I've heard there's noise that the library is looking for another location.
Oh, they are.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So
actively.
I mean, if they were to say move down to the old B of A building, and we end up with that, then you've got something you can move public health into almost immediately with very little renovation.
That would be great.
And they're right in our backyard, and they're kind of one-stop shopping instead of running everybody all over. I really don't like running people all over town.
And with the transit hub there, like Lily started, you backed up. It's a better location for all.
So that makes a ton of sense because that really is, it is residential up there. And if it's not a hospital serves the residential, but the public health doesn't necessarily.
Public health needs to be accessible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely.
And they're not accessible up there.
So that makes a ton of sense.
That's good input.
Yeah.
I really appreciate the work that you guys have been doing and looking at this. I had spent some time thinking through the multi-layers for a while, especially because of that opportunity to develop maybe up on Scenic, because we had two things going up there. The Humane Society had talked about us trying to co-locate animal shelter. And then at some point that stopped. And then we were looking at trying to buy a property, and all of a sudden we weren't involved anymore. But then the people who bought it said, I don't need it all, so could we do something there? And, you know, we still haven't had the conversations of co-locating with ODOT that could open up Industrial Park. And the reason why we as a county would care is because of the sake of UGB expansion. Our people did not like the last UGB expansion. UGB expansion. And they expand the UGB when they run out of Industrial Park. And so even in reserve, there's not a lot of little pockets. What happens around the fairgrounds that is in the redevelopment agency area or whatever they're calling it now, and with all that property around there and the potential of what could go out there, we still have to be thinking in bigger terms of, we had talked about co-locating public health, wrong one, public works, community development, and building and safety, because right now as it is you have people that come to community development and say, oh, that's a driveway entrance, you have to go to public works, and they get over there, oh, but you have to have this from community development, and they come over here, and five trips back and forth across the river.
And I think Mark's got an idea for that, to have a plan around somebody from public works, just a one-stop shop up there, temporary.
Oh, I don't disagree, but I gave
a lot of thought.
This is why we were talking about co-locating public works, community development, and building and safety, and... Right.
I gave a lot of thought to this last summer, and then the guy tapped me on the shoulder and told me it was my turn to get into staging lanes at the quarter mile.
Well, and even if we do move community development or prepare the lower level for them, it's still great office space for another entity that wouldn't have to be them, because it'll be usable in the modern era compared to what's down there.
Sell it or rent it.
That building's
but you're
got
right.
Issues,
that kind of is our phase three. Look, we got this building and this building and CAC, and then that one comes up. Like, and we're kind of, it's contingent on Grants Fast Downs too. What their future needs are at the fairgrounds, because if they want to build a hotel or something in the future,
where would it go?
Exactly, where would it go?
I think a hotel would be on the
ultimately
back.
Though we originally
back of the track would be great.
I think TMB Racing will provide the attraction, and then you'll get somebody like Marriott or Doubletree or somebody that will invest.
Right.
We have to just start. We have to make sure that the attraction is there.
Right. Right.
And that the attraction is
once it gets built up and it's got a full footprint and we know it's going forward.
I ended up filling up the whole whiteboard, and I don't know if you guys would ever entertain if we could put one over here, because I tend to be we talked about our work things, and it's hard to move the chairs over there, but to get some workspace of mapping things out. But originally I had kind of had a three-phase thing, and the problem is you can't look at them individually. You have to be aware of what's going on in phase three and who should be co-located down the road. And not just one piecemeal off, because we would have...
That's a good task for the movement meeting, to try and develop out a timeline, and we can always tweak it, but to get a little further view about what would be obvious co-location advantages and consider that when we're making smaller decisions.
Well, and there's a lot more partnerships these days between public health, environmental health, and the environmental quality folks at public health are working very closely with community development in a way that side of things and the animal shelter and working with community development for the licensing and the kennels and all that other kind of stuff. So there is nexus of our departments working together and thinking holistically. I do understand that we'll probably have to do some remodel up at public health in the meantime regardless because they are out of space and...
Because each chunk is too big.
They literally have people in the middle of the hallways with desks with no office spaces and stuff like that. And
yeah, and that's kind of what we're dealing with across the county and a bunch of different departments, some worse than others. So we're constantly building walls and tearing walls down.
Mm-hmm. Community Corrections, doorways. I know.
We met yesterday about an addition on Community Corrections. So we'll be moving forward with that.
But back to this, of course, that gives us... momentum towards a single point of entry and moving finance and legal as that mini shuffle and surveyors and human resources.
Is there space? Have you guys looked at if finance went to the basement?
Lower level.
Thank you. I'm sorry. The street level off of C Street.
We hadn't talked about that.
And the reason I bring it up is...
within the courthouse, you're saying?
Correct. Some had said that in the standard of the daily walking traffic of departments and the movement of departments that come in, they come in and they do a deposit at Treasury, they go to the mailroom, they go to finance. Those are the three places that most departments countywide visit daily.
Right.
And so having them... not further apart, but closer together as far as flow. That was something that a department brought up recently as keeping in mind.
Yeah, throw that on the table, and we'll discuss it at our next meeting.
It's a short timer. Think of that.
Because there's an underutilized break room down there. I don't know if we can put one of those road strips so we can tell how many people go in there.
Yeah,
underutilized break.
Well,
below finance, there's a break room, a big one.
A lot areas were eliminated.
Do you go?
They use it for lunch.
I've been there all the time.
Right.
No wonder we haven't been able to find you.
I know.
Yeah. I went by the desk right in
office.
Yeah. You're keeping counts up. Okay.
There's also a staff restroom in that room, so you'd have to look at some different things. But that flow of traffic of, interestingly, we have a staff person from most every department in the county that does a mail run every day. Right. And that internal movement of, now granted, they do stop and drop stuff here too for the mail. So
collective mail,
I'm not saying that you have to rethink it. I'm just saying that somebody brought up that they stop at Treasury, they stop at mailroom, they stop here.
So they don't stop at Surveyor. So let's move Surveyor over to the other.
There you go.
That's possible. But one of the things that Ryan brought up that I want to reemphasize is that when you see this plan, a lot of it is just based on square footage times a factor, gives you how much it's going to cost. There's a lot of that stuff in there that I think will cost much, much less.
Yes.
That we're not going to do, or that it doesn't require $150 a square foot. Yeah.
Right.
Is there any portion of the old jail? I know that we have to maintain transport and
a little corner. Yeah.
For the sake of court appearances and such, but if all the other, is there any storage portions that can be shored up that? I know that our office has a storeroom down there, and you go down and you're like, where'd all this, if it doesn't go to a museum.
Right. Well, that's what happens when it's off-site storage, and we had a big warehouse at one point, is people put it there and
never see it again. Be without it.
And then
never
we
use
all
the space because it's just the columns you got to keep. So all that can go, it's just concrete and block and steel,
history.
So it takes a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, we already got some people that want.
You weren't born there, but what happened?
Yeah. So a lot of requests for the bars.
For the bars.
There was.
Well, I definitely.
Christmas Eve in cell block B. Yeah.
You know, just even how I'm not recommending moving the assessor's office, but it used to be that you come down the elevator and you're just in the middle of the assessor's office and it was all open. At some point they put walls, but now they're divided in like three categories. And I understand when we had the jail in the old portion, but now that there's not, it makes me wonder what portion of all of that can be opened up to be utilized appropriately for space. I don't know.
That's why we brought it to you guys. We knew this was a good time we had good direction.
I'd just like to
digest
the old
jail.
The first I've seen it other than yesterday.
Yeah, so take a look.
Put it on my desk.
We'll put it on next Wednesday.
Well, we can brainstorm this all we want, but
we'll take your ideas into account and be ready next Wednesday to go.
Well, you heard what I said as far as my thoughts on mail room and across the hall and all that kind of stuff. Consolidating courts to the top floor, not mixing spaces.
We have a few revisions we can make to this. Community development lower level or something is a possibility.
The one piece I think we all kind of agree on as we talk about the others is that the DA needs to come down to the first floor.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So.
And then courts expands into their offices.
Yeah. So.
Right.
Rather than get caught up with all the other stuff, we can
phase it.
Yeah, that and IT, those two pieces are ready.
What's immediate?
And dispatch.
What's the big immediate one?
Not IT.
Dispatch.
Right. Dispatch.
To the old room to read.
So I want to say anything about Trina and the single point of entry and the.
I didn't see that in here.
The possibility of some.
Yeah, we added glass doors to the stairwell here to separate that and created a single point of entry at the Justice Building for metal detectors, and it looks like the elevator's most likely going to work.
And we are pursuing a $180,000 grant that was left over off last year's budget projects. Trina was
taking that to the group.
Yeah. And we wrote a letter
to try and get some single point of entry money to help launch that, because then we'd want to get one machine that did it, since we have the smaller ones by each courtroom now, that wouldn't be necessary then. Move some doorways around in that lobby.
And I think we also want to include Amber DeLay, our grant writer, in this group so that she may be aware of things that we don't even know are out there that can help pay for some of this. So we're going to invite her to the next meeting and
all future. And try and get her in the circle. Mm-hmm. And the police are actually buying us a little more time to think by not jumping out in January. Plus, making payments. They paid for this.
That's right.
That's right. That's really nice.
Hey, rent, they're good.
Their extra rent.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing.
So I think bringing DA down, we don't have to wait because that end of the Justice Building is vacant. So that can be retrofitted
ready to go.
Right. And then it's just at what level do we do it and how do we fund it? Or do we just piecemeal it and
just keep working until the money runs out?
Get a bunch of maintenance guys on it.
Keep writing checks till you run out of checks.
Yeah.
Got till June 30th, right?
Yeah. it's golden through June
30th. There you go.
Still have checks.
You can see the light at the end of the tunnel.
Well, that's very good.
Train.
So just to clarify that, we will kind of put a hiatus on tours at the Dimmick Building.
Yeah,
I think so.
I'd like to take one.
Well, we could do one last tour.
But not for a buyer. Right.
Who wants to go through there?
No, I think that would be fun to see a full.
So do you want to let them know? Or
and document it. Take some pictures.
Why don't you respond?
Put on a GoPro.
Because you can say, hey,
your N95 mask on.
And you can give us some back.
They've got some SARS.
Closed toe shoes. Don't wear your open sandals.
Yeah, I heard there was
steel toe shoes.
Steel toes. Rubberized steel toes because of the water.
Is there a bunch of water there right now?
Yeah. The last snowstorm.
We got to get something going on that.
Yep, the mold started
the
on the walls.
Mold was already.
Starting to look like we could mow a couple of the carpets in offices, so it's pretty green. Doesn't take long. So.
Okay. Well, that sounds really productive again. I like the way this is moving.
Yes.
Anybody else?
Nope. I have nothing.
Okay, let's look at item 5E, order number 2011. A matter of revision to administrative policies and procedures for Josephine County for the purpose of conducting business on a daily basis. This is the policy A17, renaming policy, use of Josephine County logo and adoption of Josephine County brand guidelines. Yep, that's on page 69.
So this was already approved through legal?
Mm-hmm.
So this is the order in the policy, incorporating the brand instead of just the logo, because there's a lot more to this than just the logo.
Right. How it's used.
Mm-hmm. What it's used on. Mm-hmm.
Well, and I hear frustration almost daily from departments that want to use the new brand, and we don't have it there yet because we haven't approved the...
I know.
And so they are waiting on us to do this for the sake of that we can implement it.
And buying gear for next summer and all that stuff.
Right.
Has the proposed logo and brand guidelines been reviewed by all county department heads, elected officials, and board of commissioners?
I think we've received
the guidelines,
input.
Yes, the guidelines have been.
Okay. I'm just asking because it says that's what happened.
Nope, and there has been some business cards and some email updates, but we'd like to solidify it all, obviously. It looks like it really shook out to be a good product in the end, with help from Sarah and Parks and from the committee that worked on it. And I couldn't be more excited and proud about it because it really yanks us out of the 60s or whatever that old logo was.
90s, interestingly, but yeah.
Golly. I know. Well, they were doing retro then.
Yes.
Because now we have a modern brand that has some classic features, and I really like it. So we plan on moving that one forward to next week's business session and get it done finally.
I would, if we can scan for the packet, a color one, the black and white just doesn't give it justice.
We need to, if we're going to do this, and we're going to roll this out, it needs to be rolled out correctly.
Yeah. Wait, are you questioning something, Commissioner Murray?
Mine is black and white online.
Black and white.
Oh, your whole thing on your computer?
Yeah.
Hey, you want to look?
I'm good.
Okay. No, I think we're there.
Yep.
Okay, so that one will move forward. Last item is matters from commissioners.
None for me.
And for Dan, we did go over them just 12 hours ago or 14 hours ago.
I am questioning the contract at the fairgrounds. I want it done, but just the process of how it was done and getting that letter from the outside group with the concerns, how do we address those when those come up?
I could say that the outside group is an engineering firm. And an engineering firm will always protect engineering everything. If you contracted an engineering firm and said, engineer that remodel out there, you'd have $159,000 in the plans.
Okay.
And there was details on the plans for flashing. There were details on the plans for windows.
Okay.
They were on there. It isn't to the extent that they would do it or that a structural engineer or mechanical engineer were not changing the structure of it. We're changing the facade. And they would go in and say, okay, you need a screw here and a this here and a that there and 14 threads per inch on the window casings and so on and so forth, which is just, they're never going to go ever check it. They're never going to inspect it. There's no code that says it needs to be done that way, but it's just like our $155,000 engineering for the bus shelter when they were a pre-engineered bus shelter coming out of Minnesota. The only engineering involved with the bus shelter is how big to deep the hole, how deep to dig the hole, and how far you want that pull down to keep the thing from blowing over. Mm-hmm. The wind shear and all the structural snow load and everything was all engineered in the product, but we still paid $155,000 to an engineering firm out of Eugene to tell us tell Copeland how to plant those.
But I also think our fair board and director and even perhaps the board, was unnecessarily put in a tight timeline because this was asked of facilities last September, and it only finally came around a week or two ago, and it really should have been let
and
back in December
the two,
or November.
The two directors needed to talk to one another because Tamara was under the impression, hey, I'm just going to be able to have this thing the whole time. And you think you're going to be able... I just went through a remodel in my house, and Pam was just appalled when they took the toilet out. And I says, yeah? you got two other ones. I don't know what you're worried about. But and I says, hey, you want to put all new floors down and stuff, you're going to have the toilet gone for a couple of days. So the right. same thing out there. I just don't, if we don't do it now, we won't be doing it until next year.
Right, and it probably would cost more. But the process was clunky and tight.
This isn't the first time, though. It's an ongoing issue.
It is. And having it done in-house will get you a less precise product. And there were some simple things missing, like there was no bid summary sheet. The contractors had to create their own. And that's just stuff when we try and bring it in-house that might get missed. And
right.
even flashing details. But
it depends on how much you want to spend. I mean, you know, I've seen plans for a
and
bank
and
hospital
the
where
structure.
The whole plan is that big around.
Yeah.
And you use three sheets.
Right.
You use the
yeah.
electrical
I use
sheet,
two,
I
yeah.
use the mechanical sheet, and we have a general floor plan. The rest of it yeah. is all details. And it all just it sets in the contractors. Well,
and there was absolutely no structural change in the entire building, and so that made it more attractive to keep it in house. But I still think it wasn't given the attention early enough that we could have had a proper bid window. That opening up for a week is really tight for contractors.
Well, and honestly,
and so
there were going to be some structural changes. We talked about ADA restrooms. We talked about changing of
that's not part
entrances.
Of this phase. Right.
Why would we change the siding before we get the guts up to where we want them?
Well, they're changing the loft. The loft is about ready to cave in.
They're just going to pull it out.
They're just going to pull it out. And I, you know, I'm comfortable with it. If you're not comfortable with it, put it off till next year.
Yeah.
I don't think that's the right thing to do. In my mind, changing siding on a building and
cutting windows in between columns.
Cutting windows
or
in
no,
between
they're already
columns.
There on shutters.
They're already there. You're just taking the shutters off and putting in windows instead of. I don't think this is rocket science to me. You're not
right.
You're not starting at the ground and building.
So is there a phase three coming? That's the restrooms and everything else?
That's all. I don't know if the restrooms is all part because I haven't really looked at the entire scope of the work. But all I know is it's nothing earth-friendly. Even
right,
if it's changing a restroom to ADA.
And
not that big a deal.
It won't interrupt the siding project to do some internal work.
Right. If we
kind
of, yeah.
And so I kind of wanted to see it go forward and give this process a shot, but obviously I had concerns as well that it might not get done in a timely fashion or to the level we were expecting. But since we passed it, I think we should let it fly and see what happens. Look, because like you said, it's not rocket science.
I have, whether you all do or not, but I have faith in our department heads and directors. I mean, this is.
Oh, I do too.
I think I want to get in there and do your job for you. I'm questioning what you did here.
But
I
don't say that's
what
I'm doing.
I hear what you're saying.
No, because what I am saying is I saw the full plans of what they want to do for the whole building. I didn't know that we're just doing the siding at this phase. Why siding before the other? They have talked about engineering work requirements for
under
grandstands and
what
it would take.
I think that was a whole different project. It's a different funding source. This is not funded.
That's what I'm trying to say, though, is
what
order of the appropriateness to get them done. And especially with an ADA restroom and ramp changing and stuff like that, there is going to be some more work. And so they're going to put the siding on and the windows on, and then they're going to have to undo the siding and the windows when they do the next remodels.
I don't think they'll have to undo the siding and windows because it's just cosmetic. It's not changing any opening size. And so
the restroom project was going to change
right.
a corner, I thought.
I'm also
the
interested
outside door,
in
but the inside door.
We have got a whole bunch of lumber in spaces out there that
we
really
need.
Years.
No,
yeah.
I'm okay with that.
I don't know where we're going to
I
put
am
it.
Concerned
if
about
if it doesn't
the
go
last
on the building,
building out there that was getting redone, this building that just getting the department heads the support to get through the projects.
Yeah, and I do have full confidence in our department heads. Mm-hmm. I just had a concern about the process on this one.
If those are valid things. You and I have both been in contracting, so we know how it works.
Yep.
There were bids that were going to go too fast, and I just didn't even bother with.
Right.
This one I don't feel uncomfortable with.
Right, and Dan and the department director and our facilities manager all met with the potential chosen contractor, and it built their confidence in his ability. So
he was asking a lot of the right questions.
Okay.
Project of this scope. So anything I may be wrong. I may have egg on my face within.
I sure hope not. What'd you say?
So there's been a request for the state of the county to be from 11 to 1.
Oh,
so,
yeah. Huh. We'll get more realtors that way.
Right.
No problem with that.
Okay. So I just wanted to... They said primarily they do their events from 11 to 1 and 1 to 3. 11 to 1 was their preference.
Right.
So...
Well, we'll record it and make it available to those that couldn't make it.
Kind of over the lunch hour that others can make lunch
yeah,
hours.
Yeah, do an extended lunch.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to feed them then?
Potentially, we can partner with and see about, okay, if we have food, do you guys want to help cover the cost? Do you,
right.
you know, what would that look like? But I didn't want to, I specifically got feedback from the locals of what they wanted, and they say, these are our standard get the most people at times. And so if you guys were okay with that.
Well, it's our third year, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think that's part of the growing pains. You decide when and where and what time.
Okay.
And so I'm amicable to 11 to noon.
I get 11 to 1.
11 to 1. I get homesteader.
Just as soon get it over. Move it to 8 to 10 as far as I'm concerned.
Then we just have to provide croissants.
That wasn't their preferred time.
They got work to do.
So all right. I understand RVTD also recorded it last year.
Oh, really?
The information that I got.
Yeah, because IT asked to not have to do it.
It was at Novum.
Oh, was it then?
Seth did it?
Yeah.
Huh.
Oh, it was? Not. It
so it was a contract?
RVTD.
Okay.
So we paid for it?
We did.
Mm-hmm.
But they were going to integrate the PowerPoint into the video as well.
Oh, okay. That helps. That's professional. Yeah.
I'm just asking for direction. What you guys like.
Yep.
I talked to Jason about it last night, and he said that they didn't do it. He did help with the PowerPoint, but we did contract out. So.
Well, I'm fine to do it either way. I think contract out might be easier.
Yep.
In the long run, and we get a little different product from that as well. So.
A little more professional, I think, than trying to do some of that stuff.
Yep.
Do you have your pen for signing?
I do. So should we adjourn? We done?
Sounds good.
All right, let's adjourn at 10:47.